You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA.
We have to make sure that we know that Georgia voters can trust the process. They want to hold us accountable. We have to hold officials accountable for having an election that is fair, that where every legal vote counts and no illegal votes don't count. And we have to make sure that we hold people accountable who break the law. I actually introduced legislation in September that would increase penalties for those that commit election fraud, who meddle in our elections, that try to influence the outcome, that goes against Georgians' right to express their views via a vote. And I'm going to continue to make sure that Georgians know that only legal votes will count.
This is November 17th, 2020. That is Georgia Senator Loeffler saying we're going to make sure we have good legal elections in Georgia. She's specifically referring to the January contest coming up as she and Senator Perdue try to defend and hold their seats. And we talked about before how critical this election is in Georgia. I can't emphasize it enough, but just in case I haven't hit some of you hard enough, let me remind you. Right now, the Republicans hold the Senate 50 to 48. They need one more to have a majority in the Senate. So it either needs to be Loeffler or Perdue. So that'd be 51 to 49. Or really better, both, 52 to 48. Because some of the senators in the ranks of the Republican Party are not really that sold on Republican ideas many times. Collins, Romney, and so forth. But the key point here is, if we're going to have a Biden-Harris administration, and there is a tie vote in the Senate, it's 50-50. The vice president casts the deciding vote. And you know which way Harris will go. And this issue in Georgia right now, she's talking about trying to ensure the integrity of their election. We pointed this out previously. We're going to get into it in more detail over the next 2 hours. We have numerous California residents and California-based political organizations preparing to descend on Georgia right now. The San Francisco Chronicle reports Democrats in the Golden State have been hounding political organizers with questions. How can we travel to Georgia to volunteer for Democrat candidates John Ossoff or Reverend Warnock, or both of them, obviously? And the other part of the story is, how do we get to Georgia to register as a Georgia citizen and get to register to vote? They have until December 7th. To establish, quote, residency in Georgia and be registered as a citizen. That's fraud, any way you look at it. But we're going to get into that in more detail a little bit later. We have the Twitter CEO Jack Dorsey and Facebook CEO Mark Zuckerberg appearing before the Senate Judiciary Committee. And right from the beginning, they faced pressure over how they were censoring that New York Post story about Hunter Biden. You know, the one how Twitter just blocked the sharing of the article about the laptop and emails belonging to Hunter Biden. Facebook said we're shutting down distribution. We didn't block it entirely, but we're not going to help you distribute it. So now they need to answer those questions. In the meantime, Dorsey admits that, yes, we labeled 300,000 election-related tweets during the election, and, of course, they were basically Republicans and Trump. No surprise there. Missouri Senator Hawley says, I've got some evidence of actual conspiracy between the two of those, Facebook, Twitter, and Google. We'll see what he has. Pfizer preparing to roll out vaccine in four states on a beginning plan: Rhode Island, Texas, New Mexico, and Tennessee. We'll be talking to Dr. Rick Layman later in this hour about how that will work and how good the vaccine may or may not be at this point. And tell me it ain't so. The word is coming down in New Orleans: no Mardi Gras parades for 2021. No parades in 2021. Mardi Gras, the biggest festivity for New Orleans. And they say, well, we're still going to do it kind of virtual. It's going to be different, but not really canceled. That's going to be a very interesting play, believe me. We've got a lot to cover for you for the next 2 hours. You do not want to miss any part of it. Lock and load. Ready on the right.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Businesses, restaurants, nursing homes need to be free of COVID. So you should be contacting Wellington Environmental. A professionally trained team will disinfect your facility using powerful but safe disinfectants. And here's something new. Wellington has a line of foggers that you can use to disinfect your own facility. These foggers are in high demand, but Wellington Environmental has some for now. They cost about $500, but my listeners get a big price break, a $100 discount. You save $100 just by saying you heard about it on Larry Connors USA. For more information on getting your personal fogging device or to schedule professional disinfecting, 314-644-4930. 314-644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
My sponsors keep this program on the air, so my thanks to John Bill Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest price. So when you need a roof, remember this sponsor for this program, John Bill Roofing. 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
I guess I grew up on an older road. A pedal to the metal, always did what I told. Until I found out that my brand new clothes are came secondhand from the rich kids next door. When I grew up fast, I guess I grew up mean. There's a thousand things inside my head I wish I ain't seen. And now I just wander through a real bad dream. Feeling like I'm coming apart at the seams. But thank you, Jack Daniels, old number 7. Tennessee whiskey got me drinking in heaven. And
this is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
On a personal level, you know, I have gotten accustomed to standing up to bullies in my life. And so on a personal level, it hasn't really impacted me besides having, you know, my children be exposed to it. And and you know, for the last 2 months of this election cycle, waking up every single morning to text messages from my siblings asking if I was safe because he chose to speak about me at every single rally. It didn't really matter where he was, right. Sometimes multiple times in a day, as he had held his Klan rallies throughout the country.
That is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar referring to Donald Trump, President Trump. And yes, he did tweet remarks about her. But she loves that parting line. And the Washington Post radio host that had her on his podcast didn't question it. Didn't say, well, you need to identify or clarify, or do you want to take that back, when she said Trump was holding his rallies, his Klan rallies, going into the election. So I guess if you attended a Trump rally, you must be a Klansman, right? You got to be. Come on. Come on. I don't care if you're black, you're a Klansman. I don't care if you're yellow, you're a Klansman. I don't care if you're a Muslim supporting Trump. You're a Klansman, according to Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. I want to spend more time with her in the next hour. But I'll tell you this. Here's what she's doing. She is doing exactly what we expect from the left. We keep hearing we're finally rid of Trump and his vile attacks on people all the time, and we're going to go to a different and better place. We're not. We're going to go to their place. And I just wonder, while she's talking about having to explain to her children how things operate in this country versus where she might be if she were not in this country. And in most Muslim nations, a woman doesn't even speak out. That's not right, in my opinion, but that's the way it is. And if they think you're getting too vocal, they'll put a stop to it. Sometimes by hanging, sometimes by throwing gasoline on you and lighting it up. And she wants to lecture you, wants to lecture us on the values of this country. She's here because she can get away with making statements like that, and that's all part of our First Amendment rights, hers as well. And I'll defend her right to say it. But I still think we need balance. We need to reemphasize some things. In fact, there was an interview that was done the other day. I did not get a chance to get to it. I had too many things on the books. Boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago, Andrew, reminded me of it today, and I'm glad he did. There was an interview with Victoria Spark. She is the new GOP congresswoman-elect from India. I'm sorry. Let me correct that. From Indiana. She grew up in Ukraine. And she said, if I'm going to watch and just let this nation go left socialist, maybe communist, I've been down that road before. She said, I grew up in Ukraine. I know socialism. Again, the words of the new GOP congresswoman-elect from Indiana, Victoria Spartz.
I grew up in socialistic country. It actually was, Socialistic Republic of Ukraine. I was saying, in my 42 years, I grew up in socialism. I saw what happens when it runs out of money and it's not pretty. And now I came to America 20 years ago with a suitcase after meeting my husband in the train in Europe, and he is a raisin-born Hoosier. And now we're building socialism. I'm kind of going full circles. I can tell you what is going to be next. It's very sad for me to see that, and that made me, as a mother of two daughters, it made me get involved and do something about it, because that's not very good for our country.
The woman is absolutely right. 42 years she grew up under socialism in the Socialist Republic of Ukraine. She said, I saw what happens when it runs out of money. It's not pretty. So then I came to America with a suitcase. End up meeting a Hoosier, born and raised in Indiana. And she said, we got married, now we have children. As a mother of two daughters, it's important that I get involved and do what we can to protect this nation. You can't help but hear her accent, right? This is a woman from a foreign country as well as Ilhan Omar. This woman from Ukraine. She said, I grew up in socialism. I know what it is. And she tells us something that I know you have heard throughout all your years of an education. And I know for many it just kind of passes by. We just don't understand it. We don't dissect it. We don't really consider it. We just kind of think, yeah, no, same old thing. Brush your teeth before you go to bed type thing. No, it's much bigger than that. And she's saying what we need to do is remember that, yes, if we're not aware, if we're not alert, history does repeat itself.
I think that we need to be good students of history. In our country, for the last century, we fought against socialism, and a lot of young kids died. I took my kids to the beaches of Normandy, and you can see how many young kids died fighting for freedoms, how many wars we fought, and we won. And let's look at any country that had socialism. Every country failed because this system is not sustainable. This system created a lot of destructions and misery. So we have to be smart. Smarter than that.
You are hearing from a woman who knows socialism firsthand, who's now a new member of our Congress, a GOP member, and she says we need to remember the history. We need to be good students of history. I can't imagine what it was like for her when she said, I took my kids to see the beaches of Normandy and see how many young kids died fighting for freedoms. I was going to make a trip to Normandy several years ago, and then I was going to do another one more recent, and just never worked out. And I regret that, because the beaches of Normandy and the loss of life to make this world safer was paid at a very high price, and yes, many, many young men died. I have told you before, if you want to really stop and understand the cost of war, it is enough to go to the cemeteries and see the graves to get some feeling, to go to Normandy, and the loss of the life so severe and hurtful to those who lost a loved one in war at that point. But for me, one of the other things that I always have in my mind as I look around, if I'm seated somewhere and I start looking around, and you could do the same thing. You look around you, and you see a lot of people, kids, that are there because one of their relatives was in the war, but they came back, married, had kids, grandkids, so forth. But then you can also look around the room and think, how many others would be here? How many families never were? Because a young man, young woman, did not come back from war. Think about it the next time you're out somewhere and look around and just think, how many more could be here? And in the midst of that also is what knowledge did we lose with those who died on that beach or in somewhere else, or the Bataan Death March, or Afghanistan, Korea? I mean, how many bright lives did we lose that might have solved some of the issues facing us today? If not them, their children or their children. And of course, the other thing that socialism wants to do is make all of us equal, right? I mean, this is a big deal. We got to be equal, really. We have to be equal. Former Vice President Joe Biden has just appointed Richard Stengel, who advocates restrictions on free speech. The New York Post reported last week he is part of the team lead for U.S. Agency for Global Media. That includes Voice of America, Middle East Broadcasting Networks, Radio Free Europe, Radio Liberty. And last year, Stengel, an Obama administration alumnus, wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post that said freedom of speech was too unfettered and that changes must be considered, arguing why America needs a hate speech law. But, friend, who's going to determine what's hate speech? I didn't like what Congresswoman Omar said about Trump supporters and their Klansmen, basically. But I'm not going to censor her from doing it. this guy coming on board as part of the key media post on the Obama transition team, is already on record saying all speech is not equal. And you know where they're getting that. They're pushing at Trump, right? Well, again, the congresswoman, the newly elected congresswoman from Indiana, Victoria Spartz, says the whole idea behind socialism is to level the field for everyone, and it pays off for no one.
We're not going to change. There are only two systems. You have freedom and free enterprise, and you have system where government decides and political elites on top how we're going to live and what we're going to do. And, you know, if you think about it, we're not equal. We all want different things. We want to have equal rights to pursue happiness, but we want all different things. We have different, we don't even want to go to travel to the same countries. If the government forces us to be equal, you have to suppress. So every socialistic system, it's about suppression. And we have to value our freedoms because we're the greatest republic that ever existed.
Amen, amen, amen. And again, for Obama appointing Richard Stengel, a guy who advocates restrictions on free speech to determine that all speech is not equal, and we've already got Twitter and Facebook and Google making those determinations for us as to what's going to be allowed speech or not up on their platforms. They want everybody the same, under the same rule, but you're not going to be the same because there will be those at the top, at the very top. And an MSNBC columnist is writing that Biden's refugee plan is what America needs to heal from Trump, and that is to bring in more refugee resettlement and illegals in the process because they don't care. Pfizer has out a drug, as does Moderna, to help fight COVID. Well, the left is already attacking Trump for it.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'm sure, Sonny, you know he wants credit for having this happen during his watch. He says to historians, please remember these great discoveries which will end the plague all took place on my watch. Should we also remind him how many people died between January and March when he did absolutely nothing on his watch and said it didn't exist and that it would be gone in a couple of days?
The words of Whoopi Goldberg from the ABC program, The View. I have never watched it. I never will watch it. But I'm always on alert for nuggets that come out of that show, showing just how stupid and misled they can be. Whoopi Goldberg talking about Trump will be wanting credit for having Pfizer and Moderna come out with these drugs on his watch. Even... And I'll bet it was so hard for him to spit the words out. I didn't bother even pulling it up. I thought I'd just tell you about it. Jake Tapper, CNN, said the fact is these drugs are part of Trump's warp speed project. He's giving Trump credit for it. And Whoopi can't really come that close to really giving him credit because she won't say, we need to remind him how many died between January and March when he did nothing. Well, you were wrong, Whoopi. He did do things. He was shutting down flights. And, of course, for a period of time, we weren't sure exactly what to do or how to do it because the World Health Organization was replicating the information China gave them without really investigating it and either purposely misleading us or lying to us and the world. And if you want to talk about how many people died between January and March? What do you say, Whoopi, we look at, I don't know, one of your big governors of a big state. Let me see. How about Cuomo? New York Governor Cuomo. Why don't we ask how many died on his watch since March when he put in orders that COVID-19 patients had to stay in nursing homes. If they were sent to a hospital, they had to send them back to the nursing home. Oh, Well, we're not talking about that. We're talking about Trump and how he's going to claim credit for all of this. This has been politicized from the beginning. And because Trump didn't go tearing out his hair crazy, saying we're all going to die, if we went with the projections we were originally told, we were looking at 2 million deaths just in the U.S. We've had 260,000. That's a very high number, but it's also a select demographic for the most part, age, health issues, things of that nature. It doesn't mean those lives are of any less value. But yet, as usual, the left does not want facts to interfere with the story. And the fact of what happened in New York State when Governor Cuomo issued his order in March, there were more lives lost in nursing homes probably than we had up to March because she claims that Trump wasn't doing anything, which is wrong. All right, well, the drug maker Pfizer is going to work with 4 states, Rhode Island, Texas, New Mexico, and Tennessee, to refine plans to deliver and administer the vaccine before its expected authorization. In other words, try to get an idea of what we can do in these pilot programs. We'll be joined by Dr. Rick Lehman of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine coming up about the latest he's hearing about the vaccine, its effectiveness, and, of course, what's happening throughout the St. Louis region as, again, more restrictions are imposed. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm local tax attorney Lance Drury, and I've represented hundreds of individuals and small businesses in disputes with the IRS. So if you've been contacted for past due tax debt or haven't filed taxes in a while, contact me, Lance Drury. And because each client's case is unique, we'll meet face-to-face and go over your tax situation in detail. Together, we'll develop a strategy to resolve your tax issues. I'm experienced, I know your rights, and I'll give you honest answers. Under my 8-point plan, my firm will file the necessary forms needed to resolve your issue with the IRS, and you won't have to worry about talking to their agents. I'll negotiate on your behalf to get you the lowest settlement allowed by law. At the Lance Drury Law Firm, we want to make sure that you're satisfied with the outcome. So call me now, tax resolution attorney Lance Drury, 314-238-7360, or go to LanceDrurylaw.com.
The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.
I've been holding it so long. I've been sleeping all alone. Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Glad to welcome back aboard Dr. Rick Lehman of the U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. Doctor, glad to have you with us, sir.
Thank you, Larry. I appreciate it.
Well, I wanted you on because, again, you deal with a lot of kids that are trying to be active in sports, and they've been either denied being able to, or if they are, it's been disjointed and so forth. And now with the word of these new 2 possible vaccines coming out, one with 90% efficiency and 94.5% for another efficacy. I mean, how do you judge that at this point?
Well, you know, I think you have to look at the vaccines for what they are. The both vaccines, one vaccine, you have to keep the vaccine at 70 degrees below zero and one at 20 degrees below zero. And the Pfizer vaccine has been tested on 94 people. So I think you have to really look at the time horizon. They keep saying it's going to happen in November. But I'm not sold. Now, I think that once the vaccines come out, one, and people will use the vaccines because 50 to 60% of the people have been polled and said, no, I'm not taking the vaccine because they're nervous about it. you know, I think we'll eventually get to an answer, but I don't think we're going to get to an answer with the vaccines till the summer.
All right. Well, what I say, let me deal and drill down a little bit on this temperature issue. Now, the Moderna vaccine, they say, could be kept in storage about 36 to 48 degrees Fahrenheit, about the same as a refrigerator. But then, as you said, the Pfizer is what would said, let me see, minus 70 degrees Celsius. I'm not sure.
Right.
Well, I don't know what the Fahrenheit would be on that. You'd have to interpret that for me. But bottom line, that's going to be part of the issue, keeping it basically good until it gets somewhere it is needed and then actually used.
Right. So either way, you're going to have some type of refrigeration to get the vaccine to the people with the virus, right? And that doesn't sound so hard, but you're talking about 250 to 260 million people. So to refrigerate every dose of vaccine isn't going to be so easy. The other thing is, how many places have the ability to refrigerate large, you know, huge quantities of vaccine in a refrigerated environment? You know, maybe a grocery store or something, but most doctors, you know, how many vaccines do you think we have here? We probably have 15 or 20 vials, you know, which is going to be totally insufficient. So I think you have to look at the logistics of this. If you're going to vaccine millions of people, you're going to have to store the vaccine in some type of refrigeration. Both vaccines are the same, and you're going to have to be able to transport it. And I think you're talking about some logistical issues that no one's really, except for you, talked about.
Well, I thought that's why I wanted to get you in on it, because I knew you were aware of it. And I did mention to the audience that Pfizer says it's going to start it with a pilot program, Rhode Island, Texas, New Mexico, and Tennessee. And specifically, that's not reference to how effective the vaccine is, but to refine plans for delivering and administering. So, I mean, you're right. That's going to be the logistic issue.
Absolutely. So minus 70 degrees. I mean, you know, you're talking about this thing. You know, there's not very many things that are minus 70 degrees Celsius. You know, that's absolute temperature. So based on that, I think you have a real logistical issue. You're going to have to go to certain places that can store large quantities of vaccine to get it. The Pfizer vaccine can only be out in the open for 1 minute. So as soon as you take it out, you have to administer it. You can't leave it around. And you have to get two doses of it. So, again, you know, thinking about that, that's not going to be that easy in terms of administration of the vaccine. The other thing that no one's talking about, they say that it's 94% efficacious, but they're not talking about the side effects. And people have had significant side effects with some of these vaccines.
I wanted to go to that. So go ahead. What are some of those side effects?
So, well, everybody's, you know, some people are getting very sick. You know, they're having 2-3 days of just absolute, they're exhausted, they have arm pain, they have myalgias, you know, they're sick.
And was it given to patients that were tested COVID positive, or was it just given to some that they didn't know if they were or were not positive at the time?
Both. And the people that were COVID positive had the same reactions as the control group. So, you know, the take-home message is if you get the vaccine, you may be prepared for 2 or 3 days of some misery. You know, you're just going to feel bad.
Well, the other part of that is, I mean, the question many are saying is that, well, I don't know if I want to take it right away. And, of course, you get politics involved. You get Cuomo and other governors coming together and say, we're not going to just let it go into our state because it came from the Trump administration, which was absolutely appalling when Trump announces the other day, we have it, we're going to help get it out, it's going to help, but we will not be sending it into states like New York and others because if they're not going to use it, why bother?
Well, to politicize this on both ends is ridiculous. Number one, to think that the Trump administration had anything to do with this vaccine is ridiculous. This is the FDA. This is science. You know, there's nothing he could do positively or negative. I mean, he could talk about it. That's all he could do. The flip side of the coin is for Governor Cuomo to say, we don't want it because it's the Trump administration. This guy's already killed 45,000 people in nursing homes. So what happens? Who cares if he kills another 45,000? Is that how he's looking at it? He's not going to give the vaccine because Trump touted it? But, you know, Pfizer, Moderna, these companies, AstraZeneca, these are multinational companies that are huge. And what dictates how this virus goes and this vaccine's going to go is litigation. You know, they're not going to turn out a vaccine, you know, that's going to create unbelievable litigation. So, you know, they're following the rules very carefully. And Donald Trump or Joe Biden or anybody else has nothing to do with it.
The other point being is, what about just the general public? And I don't know. I mean, if I've gone this long, I don't have COVID. If I had it, it must have come and gone. I mean, do I even want to bother with a vaccine? And will it be safe for me?
That's 60% of the country. So they were polled. The country was polled. I think the poll was 16 or 18,000 people. And, you know, over half the people said, you know what? I'm not going to take the vaccine. Now, that doesn't mean later down the line when, you know, they figure out that it's safe that they're not going to take it. But early on, you know, a lot of people aren't going to take it. And to say, well, I haven't gotten it this far, I'm not going to take it, you're short-sighted. You might get it tonight.
You know, some have even suggested that maybe it should be used on those incarcerated in prisons and so forth, kind of a trial. But there are big questions if you start doing that with a controlled population, I would imagine.
Well, can you imagine, you know, the Republicans come out and say, we're going to give it to all the prisoners? I want to hear the media response to that.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's ridiculous. But I think the better thing is you're not really going to know what the vaccine does until millions of people get it. And the only way to find that out is to roll the vaccine out. So no matter how many trials you do, it's one thing, you know, so Pfizer did 94 patients. Let's say you did 94,000 patients. That's not 200 million. And you're not going to know what the side effects are. And people, you know, responsibly are worried about the risk of the side effects, as they should be. But, you know, what's worse, the side effects or the COVID? And if you're elderly or you have comorbidities, you probably should take the vaccine.
So let's look at the area of your practice, which is St. Louis, Missouri, and all the surrounding counties, and even beyond. I know beyond our borders you have them coming in from out of state. But additional restrictions being imposed, particularly St. Louis County and others looking at the same, other states, helping, good, bad, indifferent? What have you been watching and seeing?
Doesn't make any difference. And it can make a bit of difference because we did all that. And as soon as the weather got cold, the numbers shot up and people are COVID refractory at this point. You know, they're sick of it. So I think closing down the county to restaurants to 25% and sitting outside isn't going to make any difference in the numbers whatsoever. Now, if you can stop Thanksgiving and Christmas where people are going to collate at people's houses and maybe 40 or 50 people are going to go visit, then you might have something. But to say you're going to, because the restaurants I've been in, you and I have been out together, the people aren't, you know, restaurants are social distancing. People aren't sitting right on top of each other. And so I think the restaurants have been responsible. And I think to close them down further at this point isn't going to have any effect at all.
And I want to reemphasize, he said the restaurants have been responsible. Well, one other quick
Absolutely.
Thing before we go, because I know you have a lot of patients who are kids involved in athletics and so forth, and they finally began to open up some sports. Have you seen any COVID-related illnesses for any of those coming in? And the other issue with teens, young and a little bit older, the isolation they've had with the current restrictions.
Well, I think the isolation has been devastating. You know, I see these kids gaining weight. A lot of them are clinically depressed. A lot of them have quit sports. And a lot of them, you know, have kind of checked out. And I've seen this over and over and over again. I see these kids every day. I have not seen any COVID-related illnesses other than to hear so-and-so lost their taste and smell, and they were sick for a few days, and then they got over it. So we haven't had any bad situations. And I think you know, you're going to have one or two bad situations as this thing matures. There's no question in my mind. But I think in general, what we're seeing is a whole psychological issue that we're going to be dealing with for the next 10 years. And that is kids who've basically, you know, been isolated since February. And you know, that's just not the way to grow when you're 14 years old. So I think that's going to be a bigger problem to deal with than anything that has to do with going back to playing sports. I think that's going to be helpful.
Okay. All right, Doctor, as always, we appreciate it. Thank you for taking time from your practice for us.
Larry, my pleasure. Take care.
You bet. Dr. Rick Layman, U.S. Center for Sports Medicine. I wasn't sure where a lot of those, what his points would be on some of that, but I guess I could have assumed, but I'd much rather get it from an expert like him anyway. And then, of course, let's go back into the political realm, and what do you say we abolish all student loans? What do we do about you if you paid your student loan, or what should we do about that? Please stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at Larry Connors USA.
Well, since my baby left me, well, I found a new place to dwell. Well, it's down at the end of Lonely Street, that heartbreak hotel where I'll be. I'll be just a lonely baby. Well, I'm so lonely.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
So, of course, one of the big, big plums offered by the Democrats in winning the election and what they're going to do for you is we're going to abolish student loans. Just wipe them out. It's still in play. It's still in play. Chuck Schumer, Senate Minority Leader, already urging incoming President-elect Joe Biden, if it stands, and most likely will, urging Biden to bypass Congress and, by executive order, cancel billions of dollars in student loan and do it in the first 100 days in the White House. He wants to do that immediately, along with Senator Warren of Massachusetts, that the president would use executive authority to immediately cancel up to $50,000 of student debt per borrower. Biden had already called for forgiving $10,000. Schumer said, getting rid of student debt, I said, that's going to be great. I think it's outstanding. Speaking of outstanding, the outstanding student loan debt has doubled over the past decade, nearing a staggering $1.7 trillion. About one in six American adults owes money on federal student loan debt. They say it's the largest amount of non-mortgage debt in the U.S. Federal Reserve Chairman Jerome Powell even said it's a major hindrance in people's economic life. Well, I certainly understand that. But this is for all those who have outstanding student loan debt. There's several questions that come to mind. Let's just begin first of all. So it's simply going to be wiped out. I guess the colleges and everything they did and the money they put forth in class and teachers and so forth, that, but what do they do to make up that shortfall? What do they do going forward? I mean, you don't want to have any additional student debt imposed, do you? So it's going to be free college for everyone? Free? The professors are going to start working for free? The colleges will be turning on the lights and heat and air as needed for free? Huh. And then, of course, what about those who have paid their college debt? Either they paid it or their parents helped them pay it, or maybe they'll get money back. What do you think? You think that is at all possible? You got to be drinking some kind of Kool-Aid you need to stay away from, because I got to tell you, no one among the Democrats, while we hear about repatriation for slavery, I don't hear any repatriation for those who paid their student debt, and that is more immediate and verifiable. And once again, we have an example I want to share here with you that's just, it absolutely angers me to no end. And every time I get into one of these stories, I have to kind of tell myself, Larry, it's your radio show, you can do what you want. No one can tell you what to do, but you got to still be careful because you could go ballistic. I'm talking about a situation in a New York school district where the staff was allowed going into the election to wear shirts and things like saying vote, okay, and they could wear shirts or flags or caps, I mean, on their sweaters or shirts displaying the names of minorities killed in election in police incidents before election day. And one student wanted to wear a sweatshirt intended to honor her father. She was just 20 days old when her father was killed as a police officer. And she looked around seeing all these folks being able to wear Black Lives Matter related gear. They're wearing a vote, other types of things like that, so she wanted to make up something on her father. She said, I'm not trying to be political, but I made up this thing that featured a thin blue flag. Now, who do you think got sent home to change? If you don't, we're going to suspend you. You're right. And she says, you know, the staff was allowed to wear one and not the other. Now, it's hard for me to explain to my children who are used to seeing the staff wear it on Friday why a sweatshirt honoring their grandfather is no longer allowed. This gets back to what we were talking about earlier. And we began this hour about socialism. And that Biden has appointed someone to head up some of his campaign that's already said not all speech is equal. And they're going to determine what's equal and what's not. And that is your free speech. If it doesn't coincide with my free speech, it will be banned. Just as clearly as a ban a sweatshirt with a blue line emblem on it, honoring police officers. And the school district insists, oh, we have a longstanding policy. We don't allow anything in the school environment in political activities. And yet they're allowing BLM and names of those killed by police officers, legally or not killed by police officers. And they won't allow Blue Lives Matter shirt honoring the children's grandfather. Not meant to be a political statement, just an honor to him. All right, coming up in the next hour, you don't want to miss it because we're going to focus on Georgia and how we're already having some big questions about how the recount's going down. It's a hand recount. And you're going to hear the mainstream media pushing again its narrative that all they're trying to do here is steal the election from Biden in Georgia. Oh, and Christiana Amanpour, who said the other day that Trump is like Hitler, she wants to add some remarks to that statement. And you don't want to miss them. Coming up next hour.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
You've been listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.